The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. We are here with And So It Flows. I'm your Super Waterman ambassador for water. We're coming straight from the Berkshires with all
in
sorts
of abundance of water,
of watery topics.
The food will get.
And today we're having an episode called Melting Ice. I'm sitting here with Fernando, who'll be here second half of the show. Going to have a conversation about what's going on with around immigration and ICE. Bring some much-needed attention to immigrant story and what it's like with a whole new, some people are calling a new Gestapo. So we'll be talking about that. And I love how water allows for people to have multiple references, because immigrants come from overseas, which is water. So stay tuned. We're going to have some water music, water news coming your way, and a great interview. So stay tuned for that. And super psyched. Don't forget to look for us on all your podcast platforms like Amazon and Apple and Podcast Republic and Water Show straight from Pittsfield, because Pittsfield deserves a water show. And we've got a little bit of tunage coming your way. What do we have here? We have a little bit of World Party. Some people are thinking this out loud, but I'm thinking it right now. And this is called Ship of Fools. And stay tuned. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Oh, a little tech difficulty. Yay, let's get this reloaded. Hold on 1 second. We're all here. Loving that we are doing what we're doing. And, you know, the authentic part of doing a live show is that sometimes things don't go according to plan. And in this case, plan, we're rewriting that plan every moment of every day. And here again, we have Ship of Fools, brought to you by World Party and Anthony Thistlethwaite.
forget about it.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. Super psyched to be with you. I am your super waterman, your ambassador for water, right here, straight from the Berkshires, the heart of the Berkshires, Pittsfield Community Radio. Just tell everybody in your water-loving world that Pittsfield has a water show, and we deserve it. Super psyched to be with you. We had a little bit of Smooth. Does definitely have some water reference. I don't have the lyrics right now. However, it's in there, so you look. Pretty soon we're going to have like a trivia day where we're going to ask people to put in like where is the water reference in that song. Because sometimes it's hidden and sometimes it ain't. And we had started off with World Party and Anthony Thistlethwaite with Ship of Fools. And sometimes we kind of have gotta wonder, where is the common leadership? And I play that song every now and then when the times requires it. When the times require having a conversation that's straight, and Ship of Fools definitely speaks to that. Be talking with Fernando Leon in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. Berkshire Interfaith Organization, part of the Pushback on Ice, and today's episode is called Melting Ice, bringing some much-needed attention to this political football that we have with people from all around the world, of which we are people from around the world. And, you know, this is an immigrant nation. And don't tell me otherwise, because I read the history books. And they came from overseas, from the land of Italy and Ireland and England and you name it, Germans and Dutch, Hungarians and Lithuanians, and you know, it's immigrants, yo. Chinese. And then we'll go over some of the stuff that's happened over time with immigration, where we get awfully cranky pants about stuff. And it's, you know, maybe there's another way to go about this. Got a little bit of news coming your way. Let's go and take a look. I know that one of my friends with the local NPR, Josh Landes, has been doing some really great stuff. So I'm going to actually find something that he recently did. Okay. This is from 3 weeks ago. ICE agents detain residents of Great Barrington as immigration crackdown actually continues in Berkshire County. And a special shout out to Josh Landes for this wonderful piece. And you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O.
In March, Berkshire County was rocked by a series of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement raids. At least a dozen residents were detained amid President Trump's crackdown on the immigrant community. As reported by WAMC, activists have closely monitored the agency's quiet but ongoing presence in the region in the weeks since. This morning, that silence was shattered by a raid in the heart of Great Barrington, Massachusetts. Agents in masks and bulletproof vests, some carrying automatic rifles, were seen taking a yet unconfirmed number of town residents into custody in the downtown central parking lot. Town Police Chief Paul Storti confirmed to WAMC that ICE had contacted the police department about its plan to come to town early Tuesday morning. He said the federal agency did not disclose its objective to Great Barrington Police and that the department had not asked. Great Barrington Select Board member and Triplex Cinema creative director Ben Elliott witnessed the raid and shared his account with WAMC.
I was on my way into work at around 9 o'clock this morning and saw a crowd assembled around the entrance to the Barrington House complex across the parking lot from the Triplex. People out filming, and it became clear that there was a few unmarked SUVs as well as a SWAT vehicle on the premises, and learned that it was ICE agents and U.S. Marshals conducting a raid throughout Great Barrington, and in the process took two men out of their apartments from the Barrington House.
Now, can you describe the scene for us? I've seen videos. It was quite a dramatic scene. Can you talk about the appearance of the agents and kind of, you know, what was going on? How did the community react to their presence?
Yeah, there were a lot of responders there trying to advocate for the rights of the men being detained. Definitely part of the confusion stemmed from the fact that the officers were not very forthcoming in identifying themselves. They were not wearing any identifying badges or vests that said anything other than police. They were not driving vehicles that were marked with any sort of identifying plates. They were all civilian plates, and they were all, except for the one officer leading the operation, were wearing face coverings.
From your perspective as a community leader and a member of the Great Barrington community, you know, what was the atmosphere like? I mean, that's a pretty intense thing to watch.
It was incredibly intense and very upsetting to watch. You know, these are our neighbors. I know at least one of the men works in the restaurant directly across from the Triplex here, members of our community. There was a lot of anger, a lot of upset. It was a mix of people who had been prepared for this and were there to try to do everything they could to make sure the people being detained knew their rights, as well as just people who were downtown getting coffee and all of a sudden saw men with assault weapons, and their faces covered, show up to take people who were not being violent, and would not see these officers who would not answer any questions about what they were doing and why they were here with such force. They brought in a battering ram, seemingly prepared to knock down the doors. They did not have to do that. Everyone seemed to come peacefully, but it was just a very jarring sight to see. I work here. I grew up here. I've spent so much time just in this little plot of land, and to see that kind of display here is really jarring.
You know, as far as a greater message to the Great Barrington community in the wake of this, what are you trying to communicate to other folks in Great Barrington in whatever capacity, you know, a community member, a select board member? I know a lot of folks are very disturbed by what's happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing today is that we need to know exactly what to do when this kind of thing happens. I unfortunately do not think this will be the last time that we'll see this. There were some amazing responders on the ground who had proper training, and I think that's the kind of thing that if anyone's looking for what can we do, it's to know exactly what to do in a situation like that, know our rights, know how to communicate the rights to the people being targeted, and to find groups in our area who are doing that training and providing resources to the people that need it, because we really, everyone needs the help that they can get right now, and to kind of get the word out of what we can do to help our neighbors.
I spoke with Police Chief Storti about the situation. He told me that the Great Barrington Police Department had been informed that ICE intended to come to Great Barrington early Tuesday morning. Any thoughts on what that means to have that information, having been in the hands of leaders in the Great Barrington community prior to these detentions?
Yeah, that's something I'm still trying to understand myself. I know that our police department has a policy to not, we are a sanctuary town, that we do not abet these kind of operations. And I know that our officers did not help in any way. I know that, as you said, that they were given a heads up early before, but I don't think they were giving any more details than that. So I don't have the full story right now. I'm hoping to learn more. I have been talking to the police to kind of, they've been helpful in kind of giving all the information that they have. They're trying to get as much information about where the men have been taken and what is happening. Whether or not that will be forthcoming, I don't know. But this story is obviously unfolding, and there's a lot to learn right now.
Wow. Thank you, Josh Landes and WAMC for putting that together. Josh Landes is the Berkshire Bureau Chief. And special thanks to him for putting that together. This is perhaps a time for profiles in courage and John F. Kennedy, president, who was taken out early by assorted forces within the government and otherwise, had a series of books called Profiles in Courage. And I think now is a time that we want to start looking at that. You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I am your Super Waterman, Ambassador for Water. And we got a little bit of poetry coming your way. And this is called The Water's Whisper. The water calls, a siren song of distant shores and lands so long. A promise whispered, soft and low, where hopeful souls begin to grow. But land, a cruel and barren place, holds chains of fear and scars of disgrace. So brave the waters deep and wide, where shattered dreams and hopes collide. No one puts children in a boat unless the water's a safer note. A refuge found in ocean's vast embrace against the violence of time and space. Water's current, strong and true, carries dreams of skies and blue. A journey's taken life anew, where hopes bright flames forever grew. And that is actually The Water's Whisper by Warson Shire. And we got a little bit more music coming your way. Up next, we have The Immigrant Song by Led Zeppelin. A couple of minutes after that, we're going to have Fernando Leon with the Berkshire Interfaith Organization, and he's going to be sharing a little bit about the pushback on ICE. I'm not talking the kind of ICE that goes into your, scotch on the rocks. I'm talking about a society that shows a lack of leadership when it's on the rocks. And we're right here now with And So It Flows, a little bit of Led Zeppelin with Immigrant Song.
Drive our ships to the moon.
You're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. You're listening to And So It Flows. We're here at Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee, and all over your audio podcast platforms. Also look for our Spotify playlist of water songs, over 25 hours of water songs. Give that baby a save. Put water into the culture. Super psyched to have with me Fernando Leon. Fernando, why don't you say hi to our water-loving listeners around the world?
Hello, everyone. Leslie, thank you for having me here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And, you know, I was looking at what today's episode was going to be a couple days ago. And, you know, as an honorary Dominican, I lived in Alto Manhattan, which Manhattan, the north part of Manhattan. And I had the honor of being the first gringo president of a all-Dominican Lions Club.
Oh, wow.
And that was fun. They let me in, and I got to know some really cool people. And, you know, let's start off first a little bit. What are you up to? Like, what do you do? What does Berkshire Interfaith organization do? And I also saw somewhere that you're a member of the ACLU. Is that correct? Or was on staff? Or
well,
because that's
let's start for there, right?
Okay.
Right now, I'm gonna be talking on my capacity as a community organizer, not as an ACLU staff.
Okay.
So I just wanna make myself very clear about that.
Okay.
Okay.
Very clear.
When we are talking about my role as a community organizer, I collaborate with different organizations. One of them, I am part of Berkshire Interfaith Organizing. I also collaborate closely with Greylock Together in Williamstown. They are a great group. I'm very thankful for their support. So thank you, Wendy Penner, Savina Chen, Jessica Deals, Kerry, all of them that they are actually organizing and fighting against what's going on right now in our country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I see it as, you know, I was listening to another podcast I listened to. It's called Do Dissidents. It's mm-hmm. a YouTube podcast. And what I heard them say was, you know, we've been sold a bill of goods around immigration, specifically in the area of scapegoating others, thinking that they're going to take our jobs, and then the folks who run those companies are not going to give you a raise. They're just not. If those people are not here. So part of the whole subject around immigration is just sold on a lot, like there really is a lie. I mean, and then, you know, what happened when you were dealing with this new happenings around ICE? What was it like for you?
I think you're touching in several points. One of them is rhetoric. What's the rhetoric that we are being sold?
Yeah, the rhetoric.
You know, the rhetoric is that immigrants are a burden to the system, that they are a burden to the economy, which is not true at all. You know, if we're just going to talk about Massachusetts, in 2022, immigrants paid $650 million on local estate taxes. And that's just taxes. 35% of new business owners are immigrants. Immigrants have generated $129 billion of economic output in this state alone. So when immigrants move to Massachusetts, the economy grows. That means jobs for everybody, not just documented or undocumented immigrants.
Yep.
So I think the first thing is to push against those lies.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think also it becomes like a point where, you know, when there's a, I'm not going to say the government, but when you have a society like the United States of America that is really taking advantage of people across the board, what I call democratically allotted horribleness in how the government is being run around the environment, around immigration, mm-hmm. around war and peace, around like lots of different issues. So when that's in the space, people are fighting over habichuelas. They're fighting over beans instead of having the ability to have people go to school if you properly prioritize funding. You're fighting over small beans. You're fighting over scraps. Your scraps.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, you know, it's important in a couple of ways. Like, as America, you know, my family's from Budapest, Hungary. There was a time where folks were outlawed from coming here. Irish, during the potato famine times. Mm-hmm. The Chinese, when they were building the railroads. Japanese were put in internment camps. There's a long history of stuff that we are doing. And even the people who were here before us got taken advantage of. So when does it come a time as that we don't do that? But let's kind of digress. What happened around ICE? Like, what happened? Were you there during this Great Barrington story?
I think is you know, when we're talking about immigration, I think it's important to talk about context.
Okay.
I think what were you referring before is what is systems of oppression, right? Like, because this is what the immigration system really is. A lot of people are surprised to find time because you called immigration court. So a lot of people think immigration court is under the judicial branch of government. A lot of people are surprised when they learn that it's actually under the executive. So it's not actually a real court. It's not a judicial court, it's administrative. And that's done on purpose. You know, that's why we have 2-3 years old representing themselves in front of a judge.
Wow.
Because they have removed the public defendant, right? So you have right to legal counsel as long as you can pay for it.
Mm.
So it's a system that is healthy, that is doing exactly what is designed to do, which is to exploit people. Because the reality of immigration in the country is, in the U.S., is that it's good for everyone as long as people remain illegal, right? You have low wages, you have a huge labor force that has no political power. So you have a population that is contributing to Social Security, to Medicare, to Medicaid, and they cannot claim any of those benefits. So when you hear people saying that people, that the government, especially in Massachusetts, is paying immigrants for housing or to get driver's licenses, it's a lie. It's a lie. You need a social security, you need a valid immigration status to being able to access those benefits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually gonna push back a little. You know, your friend, nothing personal. In my view, over the last several years, and for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to And So It Flows, your only show for H2O. I'm having a conversation regarding immigration and ICE. This episode is called Melting ICE, and the game afoot is to have this conversation so we could open up some stuff. And I, you know, I love water because it's a place where you could connect anything to. So in my view of what I saw the last few years was an incredible missed opportunity to have people feel great about the history of our country.
Mm-hmm.
So what I saw was an administration, I'm going to speak to Joe Biden administration, and it goes back much further where this has been a political football. But Joe didn't take to the bully pulpit and say, oh, we're America, land of immigrants. You are so wonderful and generous to the world and feel good and take these people into your homes and neighborhoods and have people feel good about it. I think there was a background context of people don't want to hear about this. Let's be silent about this. And I think we didn't set up the expectations. And that being said, how do you see the political football of immigration over time? Do you see anything? You think it's all parts of the leadership or just?
I think when if we are going to keep having these conversations about immigration, we cannot have those conversations without talking about context. And that means historic context, you know, like let's talk history a little bit.
Okay.
Guatemala, 1954, Dominican Republic, 1965, Chile, 1973, Nicaragua, 1981. For Nicaragua, starting in August 1981, the Reagan administration, CIA, began arming, training, and funding rebels against the Sandinista government. Those efforts continued through the 1980s despite congressional restrictions. So when we are talking about history, the U.S. government has destabilized several governments in Latin and Central America to protect the interests of corporations.
And so yeah,
that's why we have a huge wave of immigration coming into the country, right?
Well, it has something to do with it, I am sure, of going in and destroying other countries and wondering why the people are coming here. Mm-hmm. First, we advertise ourselves as that shining city on the hill, as a place of hope and openness. And then we go, you know, interrupt their countries. And in some other cases, other parts of the world destroy their countries with bombs and other things and wonder why the people are coming.
And we are destroying those countries on the benefit of corporations, on the name of capitalism, on the name of a system that has proven that it's just not working. You know, if we just see the trend within our own society, what do we see? We see increases in homelessness, in addiction, the lack of health care. So where is the benefit to this system? The whole benefit is going to that 1% that is taking away all the money.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately, we have let that 1% infiltrate in politics. So they are able to buy elections pretty much now.
Yeah.
Right?
And I can get that. And, you know, the whole immigration piece of pointing the finger at other people and at the same time really taking stock in, we did create a humanitarian crisis over the last couple of years by allowing people to do it in a way that I wouldn't say you didn't want to control the border, but you want to have a system that allows people access to what's the process. How do I do it legally?
Mm-hmm.
How is it done, instead of changing the goalposts all the time for whatever whim comes across?
Yeah. I mean, you know, asylum is international law, right? So we're talking about criminalizing people that are looking for safety, for a better place to live. And right now we are criminalizing a civil offense, which is being undocumented in the country.
Yep. I get it. I get it. Were you actively at any one of these ICE interdictions where people were being, you know, apprehended on the streets? Were you there at any of them?
Well, I wasn't there in person, but one of the initiatives that I'm involved in is trying to help most of that people navigate a very rigged legal system.
Yeah.
Right? So what we have done is we have, and this is through the effort and the collaboration of groups like Raylock Together, like nonprofits like Roots and Dreams and Mustard Seeds. Michael Hitchcock is the co-director. He has put an immense amount of work and time into this initiative as well. We have connected these people with effective legal representation so they can get bond hearings. So to see if they are eligible to get a bond, to see if they can get out of detention.
Yep. That's so you've created a list of for things that people can do that gives them a few steps to navigate all this crazy.
I mean, like I say, it's for these families is overwhelming, right? Because unfortunately, what happens is like when you cross the border, right? They are going to give you what's called a notice to appear. That usually has a date. That date means that that's the first time that you're gonna be in front of an immigration judge to defend your case. This document is just in English. It's not even translated into any native language that these families might speak. Then we are expecting that these families access a country that they don't know anything about. They get work, they get money, and then they get legal representation to defend their asylum claim. With no help howsoever.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous. Is a setup system. It's set up for them to fail. Right? So what we do is we explain the situation. We explain the legal. We are not lawyers. We are not pretend to be lawyers. So what we do is we put those families in contact with counsel, with legal counsel, and tell them, like, Let them do their job. Let lawyers tell them how to navigate that system and see if they are going to be able to get out.
Yeah.
Right? Because one of the things that happened in March 19 in this ICE raid is they took a lot of the breadwinners in the families. So what's left behind, it's a wife with two or three children that now have to find a way to pay for rent, for immediate needs, and try to pay for legal fees for a lawyer that's going to charge anything from $5,000 to $15,000.
Wow.
And if families are not able to navigate that effectively, what they are looking to is deportation to places where they have to flee because their life was in danger.
Not only that, or to perhaps go to a place that isn't even their country, like
exactly.
South Sudan,
exactly.
Or like El Salvador,
mm-hmm.
and go into one of those for-profit gulags that some of our puppet governments are taking on.
Yes,
and that, yeah.
And I think that hits the nail right in the head. Is that is a for-profit system. Who is
so what's the incentive?
Who is becoming rich?
Exactly. The private prisons. And you know, and here's the thing, you know, correction is a helpful thing to society. However, if you're doing it just for money, I don't think that's like a proper incentive. You got to be like looking at you have people in your care, and to play the cynicism card doesn't work. And you know, and for my friends who are first responders, and I think, you know, first responders are just fine people, that, you know, there's a saying I grew up with is there by the grace of God go I. You know, and just like that could be me in any situation at any time. And the ICE agents.
I think that's an excellent point, right? Because what we are seeing is an erosion on due process and civil liberties. And that is not going to stop with the immigrant community, right?
No. They just then, look at the weakest link and then they say, okay, how about you? Let's encroach on your rights.
Yeah.
Citizens who are born here or folks who
are activists
or
judges.
Judges,
a sitting congresswoman. I think this is escalating rather quickly.
Well, let them, you know, here's the thing. I'm for, like, let them show their cards. For folks who are listening to this show, you're listening to And So It Flows, the only show for H2O. I'm your Super Waterman Ambassador for Water. Episode today is called Melting Ice. I'm here with Fernando Leon from the Berkshire Interfaith Organization, who's been organizing some response to the ice epidemic that we have going on here. For my friends who might be ice or ice related, I would say the Gestapo was tried once and see how that ended. It didn't end well for those folks. And I would say that, you know, America, the reason my family came here is because there was freedom of speech, because there was freedom of assembly. My father was a green card holder who went to Columbia University for night school and got his MBA. So he is just like Mahmoud Khalil, or the gentleman who got detained and brought to Louisiana. He's just like that. You know, maybe a couple of shades of skin color lighter, but still. Same exact thing. So there's, like, we are them and they are us. And, you know, I get a lot of fulfillment by learning another language.
Yeah.
By, seeing the love in someone's eyes or how they deal with family. I married into the Spanish Latin culture. My ex-wife, New Yorican all the way. And I got to see that family bond that wasn't present in the Eurocentric family of my origin. And, you know, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
just a beautiful, different culture.
I think what we have to remember is that those principles, those rights, those liberties come from a democracy, and a democracy is a participatory process. So we have to, and then, you know, like, I value institutions as well, but they decay if we don't hold them accountable. So us as a community have to go back into claiming our power, you know, to realizing that this is not about institutions, that is not about politicians, is about us, because it's us, the ones who are part of our community. And this is not just about immigrants, it's about what kind of country, what kind of nation do we want to be, what kind of people do we want to be in the face of injustice.
Yeah, and because injustice happens to someone else doesn't mean it ain't going to happen to you once they expand that envelope one more. And, it's melting ice. Melting it.
Fighting back, yeah.
Yeah, and allowing for people to be led with dignity. And if there are folks who did break a criminal law, they will be held accountable around that. That should be part of the system as well.
I mean, that's a good point, because also what people are not talking about is that when you have been charged...
it's just a charge.
When you have been charged with a criminal offense and then you don't go to court, then they are denying justice to that person, and then they are denying justice to the victims as well. No one is having their day in court.
Yeah, so they're just taking a charge.
It's not actually good for anyone,
exactly.
Right? Because let's say someone was charged with a serious offense, and then they just get deported. They actually never get prosecuted and convicted for that.
Again, the rule of law right there. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. For those who are just tuning in, it's the tail end of a interview I'm having with Fernando Leon, Berkshire Interfaith Organization.
Organizing.
and we're having this conversation regarding immigration and ICE. Super excited. Thanks. We got a minute. How do people find out how they could help if they want to help?
Well, number one, speak up. Don't be silent. Silent is, if you are silent, you're being complicit. So speak up against what's happening. Realizing that immigrants actually are an asset to this country, that they bring a lot of good qualities into the equation. If you want to be a participant, there's several things that you can do. One, you can go to Roots and Dreams and Mustard Seeds. You can donate. You can be part of several initiatives. We have a program that is helping immigrants get their driver's license. So they need sponsors. We need volunteers. You want to be part of that, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most important thing is you can make a difference. Doesn't matter that you are just one person. Just do not sit in fear. Actually join other people that are doing something about this, because you will make a difference.
Yeah. And thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks again for joining And So It Flows. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for sharing your perspectives and
thank
your
you. Thank you
view.
For having me, Leslie.
You're very, very welcome. You're listening to And So It Flows. Your only show for H2O. We got a little bit more music coming your way. And this one is by Bob Seger, Fire Lake. Again, you're listening to And So It Flows. Your only show for H2O.
All right.
Now it's time for Silly Songs with Laddie, the part of the show where Laddie comes out and sings a silly song. So without further ado, Silly Songs with Laddie.
The Water Buffalo Song. Everybody's got a water buffalo. Yours is fast, but mine is slow. Oh, where'd we get them? I don't know. But everybody's got a water buffalo. I took my buffalo to the store. Got his head stuck in the door. Spilled some lima beans on the floor. Oh, everybody got a...
Stop right this instant. What do you think you're doing? You can't say everyone's got a water buffalo and everyone does not have a water buffalo. We're going to get nasty letters saying, where's my water buffalo? Why don't I have a water buffalo? And are you prepared to deal with that? I don't think so. Just stop being so silly.
This has been Silly Songs with Laddie. Tune in next time to hear Laddie sing.
Everybody's got a baby kangaroo. Yours is pink, but mine is blue. Hers was small.
Lemon fizzy water. Sparkling water. Lemon. Osmosis. Carbonated. Abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.